Reverend David Park is the minister of the Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland, and we're so happy to welcome him and his wife Susan with us. They came over initially for the installation of Reverend Armin Tamastian in Calgary just last week, as he was a member of their congregation. And we're very pleased that he took our invitation to come via Toronto on his way home. And we enjoyed his fellowship last Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting. And you've heard sort of a condensed version of that report, but a very good one it is, and something that we can take with us. And we're very happy that you've been with us here this morning to preach the word. If you were not here, I would encourage you to get that message from sermon audio, that you could listen to it. And our brother's going to bring the word again tonight to us. So you're very welcome here. The Lord be with you and bless you.
Thank you.
You turned the switch on.
Yes.
Good for you. All right.
I'm learning quickly. I want to say on behalf of Susan that we are delighted that we took up the invitation to stop going home through Toronto here for a week. We thoroughly enjoyed our visit. It's the very first time that we've been in Canada. And that's amazing. We've been to the United States. We've been to various mission fields in the world. But we've never been to Canada. And we are delighted with what we've seen and the fellowship that we've enjoyed with God's people in Calgary and here in Toronto. Some of you we knew pretty well. Some of you we knew about you. Some of you were getting to know, and thank you sincerely for just so quickly taking us into your hearts and making us feel so welcome among you in Toronto. I invite you to open up the scriptures to the Psalm 29. The Psalm 29. I call a borehole a well also. It's just the term that Fields of Life give to that construction. But whatever way you look at it, it is a vital thing for the school to have, just to get water there. And we trust and pray that that project will be forthcoming. We need missionaries. I said on Wednesday night, maybe there's a missionary here. Maybe you know it already. God has been dealing with you. Maybe you don't know about it yet, but the Lord will be pleased to put his hand upon you and call you into the work and to lead you forth to the mission field. The fields are white already unto harvest, but the laborers are few. May God speak to all of our congregations in both of our churches over in Northern Ireland and in the UK, as well as here in North America. The Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. This little song could very well be called the voice of the Lord's psalm. And I'm sure you noticed that the phrase here is used 7 times by the author as David sets forth the perfection and the authority of God's voice. He begins the song speaking in such terms as giving the Lord something. It's amazing that we could give to the Lord anything. For it is the Lord who has given us all things to enjoy. We, in a sense, give to the Lord glory and strength, honor, praise, and worship and our hearts. Doesn't he say, Son, give me thine heart? And yet, in a very real sense, we can give God nothing. We cannot confer anything upon the Lord. And so the word give, therefore, really means ascribe. We ascribe to him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Think of David's song or prayer of thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And I'm sure those words remind you of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we give God the glory due unto his name, we are simply ascribing everything to him as the one who is supreme, exercising absolute sovereignty in the greatness and the majesty of his being. It is God's rightful place, and we give him the praise that is worthy his great name. David cries, worship the Lord. In other words, bow before him with reverence and respect and homage and sacred awe. And worship him. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Everything about our worship ought to be holy, externally and internally. The clean hands and the pure heart, inward purity and outward holiness, such as precious in the eyes of our thrice holy God. Oh, for grace to worship God in this way, with holy motives and in a holy manner, as becometh the saints of God. The call to worship is followed immediately by expressions of God's mighty voice. Seven things are said about the voice of the Lord. Perhaps you've marked them already in your Bible. And if not, mark them in some way so that these phrases will stand out to you when you read the Psalm 29. This psalm is meant to express the glory of God. We note the opening declaration which speaks of God's voice in verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. What a tremendous verse this is. Just as the 8th psalm is to be read in the moonlight when the stars are bright. For we read in that psalm, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David no doubt was inspired by these things as he wrote the 8th psalm. The 19th psalm needs the rays of the rising sun to bring out its beauty, for the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The Psalm 29 is best considered beneath the dark tempest when the lightning flashes and the thunder roars. It is that awesome phenomena which depicts the majesty of God's power. The thunder is used not only poetically to describe the voice of the Lord, but it is used instructively so that we might be taught of the Lord. It comes from on high. It surpasses all other sounds. It inspires awe. It is entirely independent of man and has sometimes been used on occasions to accompany God's speech to man. There is a peculiar terror in the tempest of the sea. When deep calleth unto deep, and the raging seas echo to the angry skies, no sight is more alarming than the flash of lightning around the mast of the ship, and no sound more calculated to instill a reverence than the roar of the storm. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. You can read the other descriptions in the psalm which speak about God's voice. this build-up of a picture of awesome majesty, authority, glory, and intensity when God Almighty speaks. And brethren and sisters, we need more of that today. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need the Lord to speak clearly and as mightily as the thunderbolt. When God speaks in this way, men sit up. They take knowledge. They give heed to what is spoken. And there is no doubt that he has spoken. It comes with such force and strength and conviction. We often pray, Lord, speak to me. And as we sit in our gospel services, we pray, Lord, speak to sinners that gather with us. Let the voice of the Lord be heard. And this ought to be our desire when we come on our Sabbath days to worship the Lord. When we gather for our Bible studies in the midweek service, we ought to be crying to the Lord, speak to me. When we close the door of our closet and we get alone with God, this ought to be the cry of our heart. When we're seeking his mind and his will for our lives, when our loved ones go on in the hardness of their sin, it ought to be the desire of our heart, Lord, speak, and speak mightily. And I want to talk to you this evening about the power of God's voice. And just to use the little voice that the little verse that we have in the opening part of verse 4, where it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. There is an irresistible power that attends the lightning, of which the thunder is the report. In an instant, when God wills it, the force of electricity produces amazing results. A writer on this subject speaks of these results as including a light off the intensity of the sun in his strength, a heat capable of fusing the compactest metals, a force in a moment paralyzing the muscles of the most powerful animals, a power suspending the all-pervading gravity of the earth, and an energy capable of decomposing and recomposing the closest affinities of the most intimate combinations. And this is the picture. This is the description that is used to illustrate God's voice. His voice in nature is powerful. So is his voice in the hearts of men. It is a voice that shakes heaven and earth. No wonder the Bible says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Yes, the voice of the Lord is powerful. And I want you to think of this power tonight. I want you to think, first of all, that the voice of the Lord is powerful to break the heart of sinner. What do sinners need to hear? As they come to our meetings and they gather with us on the Lord's Day, or when we go out there to evangelize and speak to them about the things of God, what do sinners need to hear? They need to hear the voice of God, a word in their heart, backed home with the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, the voice of divine authority and omnipotence, the voice that wakes the dead. There is an undeniable, unmistakable, irresistible voice that can be discerned amidst the din and the clamor of this world. It's a voice that cannot be shut out. It's a voice that cannot be refused. It's a voice that cannot be resisted. The prophet Isaiah said, hear, and your soul shall live. Isaiah 55, verse 3. When a man truly hears the call of God in his soul, he will respond. Yes, I know the Spirit can be resisted and oftentimes is. And I know that the Word of God can be refused. And the Savior can be rejected. And the preacher can be repelled. But there is a voice, a thundering, mighty, searching, effectual voice that must be heard and obeyed. And we need to pray that this voice will be heard more often. And when that happens, the hardest sinner is broken. The deepest dyed sinner is immediately smitten. It happened in the life of Saul of Tarsus, didn't it? He was going in the opposite direction. He was on a murderous campaign. He was out to stamp out Christianity, but instead he found the Savior and he became a defender of Christianity and a preacher of the gospel. How did that happen? The voice of the Lord is powerful. A light shone from heaven. We're told about that light that was brighter than the sun. In fact, it was the light of Christ. But not only was there a light that shone, there was a voice that was heard, and heard with power that day in the heart of Saul of Tarsus, and he was wonderfully saved. The same can be said of the sinful woman of Samaria. That day that she met the Savior at Jacob's well, just outside the city of Sychar, and entered into that conversation with Jesus Christ. As that conversation continued, something began to happen in that woman's heart. What was it? It was the power of the voice of God that reached the soul, and she could not resist it. 3,000 people heard it on the day of Pentecost, and they were immediately smitten. So much so that they began to cry out publicly and audibly, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I know men who have sat in gospel meetings for a lifetime, year after year, decade after decade, and they have sat in the hardness of their sin. Their souls became defiant. But then suddenly, there was a voice from heaven. The power of the voice of Almighty God reached their soul and changed their lives. Bertie Thompson sat in our meetings in Port of Oge for many years. He was an old man when I met him. His wife was greatly troubled. She was a believer, and she was troubled for the soul of her husband. One day, I visited their home with a real burden in my heart to see this man brought to Christ, and his wife felt the same way. I began to engage in conversation with him. I began to talk about spiritual things. I challenged him about where he stood with the Lord. You know, he never missed the Lord's Day. Every Sunday night, he was sitting in the gospel service in Port of Oge. He never missed. He would have put many of a child of God to shame by his attendance at the sanctuary of the house of God. But he had lived all those years without the Lord. And that day I began to press the message upon his soul. He became very uncomfortable. And he said, "Mr. Park, you're putting me in a corner." I didn't want to do that unnecessarily. I do want to challenge men about their soul, but I don't want to make them feel unnecessarily uncomfortable. And so I just withdrew and I said, "Bertie, I just want you to know, and your wife wants you to know, we're concerned about you. We want to see you saved, and I'm going to leave it there," and I did. Some time passed by. He still continued to attend our meetings. And then a gospel mission came to the village, but Bertie Thompson was not there. Why? Bertie Thompson took seriously ill, and in that illness he contracted septicemia. At times his mind was in delirium. He hadn't got a clear mind even to discuss the things of God. But one night after the mission, it was late at night, I traveled up to the hospital along with the evangelist who was helping me in the mission, and some of our elders came, and they waited in a room, and they prayed, and we went in to see Bertie. And as we talked to Bertie, his mind was alert. His mind was clear. And I reminded him of that day that I sat in his home and I talked to him about the things of God, and I just simply said to him, "Bertie, what about it now?" And Bertie looked at me. He says, "Yes, I want to be saved." And he just leaned back in the bed and he called upon the name of the Lord. What had happened? The voice of the Lord was heard with power, because the voice of the Lord is powerful. I remember a date that sticks out in my mind. It's the 9th of the 9th, 1990. It was a special weekend of anniversary meetings in our Port of Oge congregation where I used to be the minister. Dr. Paisley was along to preach that Sunday afternoon. There was nothing, and he testified to this also, there was nothing unusual about the service. Not until about 10 minutes before the end. And then he spoke of how the Spirit of God came down and granted him an unusual anointing as he preached the Word of God. And there, after that meeting, 5 souls came to know Christ the Savior. It was a remarkable day, a day of great rejoicing, when God moved, when God came down, when the voice of the Lord was heard. We take hope as we look around us. Maybe you do that on the Lord's Day. And you think about those that sit in your meetings who are still not saved, who are wandering away from God, and they seem to be so hard in their sin. My friends, we take hope because we know there is such a mighty voice that one day can reach them and speak to them with such power. So we ought not to despair for our loved ones, no matter how hard they seem to be, no matter how worldly they seem to be. The voice of the Lord is powerful to break the heart of sinner. Secondly, the voice of the Lord is powerful to bless the humblest saint. We long for the blessing of God to fall, something like what was experienced last weekend. We just want that to fall upon all of our churches, for the Lord to come. We began this year as a congregation in Ballymoney. We have a week of prayer, just after the minister's week of prayer. It's always our longing that the blessing that we have as ministers and the students come to will pass on into the congregations as we go back to them. And so we have our week of prayer, and we thought that week about the blessing of God. We thought about Jabez who prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." It was something very personal. He wanted the blessing of God as an individual. We want that too. And then we thought of David nearing the end of his life, and he asked the Lord to bless his household. And God blesses us, and we need the blessing of God. We want that blessing to be extended into our homes. We want to see our families taken care of in spiritual matters. We want to see them all saved. And so we pray, "Lord, bless our homes, bless our households." And then we thought about it in a more general sense. And we read in Isaiah 64 and verse 1, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down." And there we see the blessing to be more extensive as it comes down, not just upon us individually and not just upon our families, but upon us collectively as the Lord's people. And we desire in our heart the blessing of God. True it is that we're blessed already in so many ways. We have to say that tonight, generally and specifically. Too often we take our everyday blessings for granted. Our health and strength, soundness of body and mind, the food that we have on our tables, and all the provision that God gives to us on a day-to-day basis, our jobs, our families, our friends, a gospel-preaching church, a godly minister in the pulpit that preaches the Word of God, our church buildings, the attendances that the Lord gives to us, a praying people, a church with a missionary vision that desires to see the gospel going into all the world. And we should not overlook these mercies. When we count our many blessings and we name them one by one, it will surprise us what the Lord has done. But my friends, there are those exceptional, extraordinary blessings for God's people, special blessings of miraculous power. And often these are the great desire of our hearts. Maybe it's in the conversion of souls that the Lord would save multitudes around us. We desire that. Maybe it's the blessing of revival, that the people of God will be revived and we will know something about those things, really, we've just read about in history. We desire that blessing from the Lord. You see, the Bible speaks about set times. Set times. The psalmist spoke about the Lord commanding his blessing. And you'll think now about the Psalm 133, where brethren dwell together in unity. You come to the end of the Psalm, there's just three verses in the Psalm. It says, "There the Lord commands his blessing." My friends, God can command the mighty blessing and speak with mighty power, and it shall be done. And we see it in the Scriptures. The day of Pentecost was such a time. The Lord commanded his blessing. He spoke with power. And there, as Peter and the others preached, thousands of people were converted to Christ. We speak about the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. It may have been 8,000. We read about another 5 that were converted. And some of our Bible expositors, they reckon that was the same day. There were 3,000 saved in the morning, 5,000 saved in the evening time. That was a mighty move of God. What happened? The power of the voice of God to command his blessing. It happened in Samaria. Philip the evangelist went down to that city. He preached Christ unto them. And what happened? The whole city was changed, and joy, we are told, was brought to that city. The Lord commanded his blessing for Peter in Acts chapter 12 when he was shackled in prison. God spoke with power, and those chains were broken, and Peter was wonderfully and miraculously delivered from prison. This is what the Lord does. Don't give up praying for the blessing of God. Some of these days the Lord will command it to be done, and when he speaks, it will come to pass. I was just thinking as I sat there this evening, maybe the next time, if the Lord permits me to come back to Toronto, we'll see the building packed. And that will be the everyday situation for you, every Lord's day. There's no reason why God cannot do these things. If God can bring in one, he can bring in two. If he can bring in one family, he can bring in many families. I believe that with all of my heart. And when God speaks, it will be done, because the voice of the Lord is powerful. Never forget, power belongeth unto God. He is shrouded in infinite, omnipotent, sovereign, irresistible power. He can but speak one word and command his blessing upon his dear children. The voice of the Lord is powerful to bless the humblest saint. Thirdly, the voice of the Lord is powerful to bestow the holiest service. You know, the hymn writer said, the least you do for Jesus will be precious in his sight. And that's so. God has a work for us to do. No matter how simple, no matter how small that task may seem, God has called all of his people to Christian service. Need I remind you that you're saved to serve? For some, he has ordained the factory floor where you are to be a witness to those around you in the workplace. For others, it's the godly mother in the home, teaching and instructing her children in the ways of the Lord. For everyone, it is getting involved in the local church. God works through the local church. And the Lord wants all of us to be involved in the body of Christ, in that local church where he has placed us. But there is what we recognize special callings, high and holy work in various aspects of Christ's vineyard. A minister of the gospel, a missionary of the cross, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, an elder in Christ's church, a deacon on the committee, and you're thinking about such things as a congregation, a teacher in the Christian school. It's when God puts his hand upon one of his children in a very definite, unmistakable way, and he calls them with a special calling into the work. He speaks with power. He stands in the way of that Christian, and he redirects them. And he says to them, this is the way. Walk ye in it. He did it with Abraham in Mesopotamia. When he said to Abraham, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your father's house, and I want you to go to the land that I will show you. That was the definite, unmistakable call of God in his life. Moses at the burning bush had a similar call when God called him to be the man who would lead Israel out of the house of bondage. Gideon received a similar call. Isaiah too, the disciples at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, Jesus gave them a special call. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Paul had such an ordained plan revealed to him that we read about, and he testifies to this in Acts chapter 26, verse 15. The voice of God speaks with power. A young person is challenged, maybe in a service like this, maybe at a prayer meeting night, or at a missionary convention, or in his own personal Bible study, and he hears the call to the Great Commission in a new way. It's more personal now than general. And when God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, this is now a message for that heart. It's not just a general call to service, but it is very specific. And he's saying, go work today in my vineyard. Such verses come to the heart with new power, or maybe some other scripture that is used by the Lord. Many have felt the call of God through Abraham's call, or through Isaiah's call, or Paul's call. What I'm saying to you, there is a word from God, and it is a word of power to the heart. It is God's special call to service, and we need to be praying in these days for such. We think of the great need all around us. The vacant churches here in North America, the vacant churches back in Northern Ireland, And what can we say about the open doors now that the Lord is presenting to us on the mission field? And when the laborers are few, and they are few, what are we to do? What the Lord says to do, to pray. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. Maybe you could pray, Lord, speak the word of power into the hearts of our young people and call them into the work. It is our sincere prayer that God will come to many here in this church in Toronto and put his hand of deity and power upon them and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And when you hear that voice, you'll be assured about it. You'll know that God has spoken. Finally tonight, the voice of the Lord is powerful to bring the highest succor. If you haven't discovered it already, let me just tell you, and those who have discovered it, let me just remind you that the Christian life is not always easy. There will be times when we sink into a valley of despondency, times when we feel submerged in the angry billows and threatening waves, times when we will sit in darkness and despair. It may be ill health that will overtake us in the journey. God never promised that we would be free from sickness. It may be friends will forsake us. And when we're wounded in the house of our friends, it is an exceeding deep wound to bear. It may be a dear family member is taken from our sides. A mother, a father, a dear wife, a husband. Maybe even a little one, a child in the family. And God in his providence takes that little one away. And we are plunged into the midst of sorrow. And so the list goes on. It would be impossible for me to state every deep and dark trouble which overtakes us in the journey of life. There are many, many different situations. Places maybe where you are today, in this very meeting tonight, unknown to me. It is in those times that Jesus draws near. And he draws near as he did with the two on the road to Emmaus who walked that day with heavy hearts. And he whispers his peace. And my friends, he has a word. It's a word of power to succor, comfort, and bring consolation. It's a message that comes with application, even a word that we already know. But it comes now with freshness and with new meaning, and God applies it to the soul. It's just like a balm. It might be that word that we read in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Or Isaiah 43 and verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Or it might be a word like we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or that old tried and tested promise in Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But that word comes to our hearts with power. The voice of the Lord is powerful. When Abraham was in a great darkness, for a horror of great darkness fell upon him, the Bible tells us, God had already given him a word of encouragement to rest upon. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. When Moses trembled at the thought of God's call, the Lord gave a word to him, certainly I will be with thee. And many times David was in a crisis, but the Lord came with a powerful word to encourage his servant, and all you need to do is to read the Psalms. And we see how the Lord graciously came near to David. In a time of uncertainty, opposition, and fear, the Lord came to Paul one night to strengthen and to succor him with a powerful word. You can read about it in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9 through to 11. Whatever it is you're passing through, I want to say to you, dear child of God tonight, God has a word in season. He has a mighty word for your particular circumstances. It is the best voice to hear, and it brings the highest succor to the heart, for it is a word from God. Words from men are good, and they can often be consoling, and we're thankful for such words. But a word from God himself is a very powerful word. A word that we can lean upon. A word that will bring encouragement and strength. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And so we need to be like the psalmist. In the Psalm 85 and verse 8, when we read what we've just read tonight from the Psalm 29, listen to what verse 8 of Psalm 85 says. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. The voice of the Lord is powerful, and powerful to do all the things and much more that I've mentioned tonight. And the Lord has a word for you, and he's had a word for you tonight in this service. So I just trust you'll sit there and say, I will hear what God is saying. And whatever God is saying to me, I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to apply it to my heart. And my friend, when you do that, it will do you good. Whether you're a sinner tonight and God has spoken to you and you get saved, or whether you're a child of God and you need to hear the call of God into Christian service, or maybe you're passing through a difficult time and the Lord has a word for you, rest upon it and trust it with all of your heart. May God bless these thoughts to you tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's bow together in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that God speaks. We bless thee that he spoke with power in Bible times, both in the Old and the New Testament days. We read of those times through church history when he spoke with power. Lord, we are so often encouraged as we read the history of past centuries of what God has done and the mighty voice of God that was heard. And we praise thee tonight. He still speaks. What a mercy this is as we see decay spiritually all around us, and we see men abandoning God, and yet God steps in and God still speaks to a nation, still speaks to a people, still speaks to churches, still speaks to individuals. And Lord, thou hast spoken today through thy word. We praise thee that the voice of the Lord is powerful. Now, Lord, I don't know what individuals in this service need to hear or what they have heard today already, what God has been saying to them in recent days, what the Lord has been saying to them in their own personal times as they take the word of God down. But Lord, thou knowest, and thou knowest the message that they need to hear and act upon. Gracious God, speak with irresistible power. That kind of power that the Psalm 29 highlights when it emphasizes the voice of the Lord. And oh God, may it come to every heart here tonight in that fashion. And may we act upon it. There are those, Lord, that need to be saved in this meeting. Save them, we pray. There are those that are cold at heart and backslidden. And they need to be brought back to their first love. Lord, single them out. Have a word for them now. Rivet them in their seat. Don't let them leave without sorting out the matter with God. There are some, Lord, are discouraged and downcast. May there be a word of great encouragement for them, the power of the voice of the Lord in their heart that will lift them up and give them a promise to lean upon. There are those that need to respond to Christian service and say, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Lord, do thy work, thy powerful work, thine unseen work in the heart of us all tonight, that which is pleasing before the Lord. And we will ascribe to thee all the glory and the praise and the honor for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're here, my friends, tonight as a servant of the Lord. Your minister is here. Your senior minister is here. Elders are here just to help you whatever way we can. If you've got a question, please come and ask us. If there's something troubling your heart, come. That's why we're here, as a messenger from God, to help you all we can. If you're not saved, don't leave the meeting without Christ. If you're a backslider, come back to him tonight. Whatever the matter is, whatever the need is, if we can help you, we're servants for Jesus' sake. Thank you tonight for listening. Thank you for your attention. Amen.